Please remain standing and turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. We continue our study in the Sermon on the Mount. We come today to the sixth Beatitude, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And may God add His richest blessing to the reading of this portion of His holy word. Will you pray with me, please? Again, our Father, we are thankful for Your word which You have spoken to us. And we pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You would come and speak to us now, that we would hear the voice of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, and that He would know His sheep, and that we would know Him and follow Him and offer our hearts to Him promptly and sincerely, in spite of the inability and sin of the preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. Our undivided attention. One Sunday morning, some years ago, at another place, I was preaching and observed a couple. And they were too old for this. Don't be too worried about where I'm going. But they sat in the pew and talked to each other through the entire service from beginning to end. Every time I glanced their way, they were just sitting there talking. Shaking hands at the door that day, I said to them, "You know, you get a lot more out of the service if you actually pay attention to what's going on." I shared this story with my wife and asked her what she thought about it. And she said, "What are you trying to illustrate? How to be rude?" And I said, "You talking about them or me?" And she said, "Both." Today, in this sixth Beatitude, we're going to think about giving God our undivided attention. For that is what it is all about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now let's give our attention, our undivided attention, to the Word of God. First, in this Beatitude, we see a pure heart. A pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. What does it mean to have a pure heart? Well, obviously, at the most basic level, it means good. But to be more specific, at the beginning of the service, just listen. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? In other words, who is fit to go into the presence of God and see Him? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who shall make it into the presence of God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Then it defines it. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He has not worshiped idols, and he has kept his word. He has a singular focus on and commitment to the true God. He is not divided in his allegiance. The Lord has his undivided attention and his undivided heart. you remember when Baalism had infected Israel and Elijah gathered the people on Mount Carmel, people divided between Jehovah and Baal and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Or Joshua's farewell address before he passed on to glory, when he gathered all Israel together and said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make up your mind. That's what he's saying. The Lord demands our undivided attention and our undivided heart. A pure heart is an undivided heart. So, the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's the opposite of a pure heart, is to be double-minded, to be divided in our commitment and allegiance. Now, for the sixth time, let's think together about the logical order of the Beatitudes. First, blessed are the poor in spirit. Step one, square one. I'm a sinner. I have nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. I'm poor in spirit. Then, blessed are those who mourn. When I realize I'm poor in spirit, I have to repent. Then, blessed are the meek. The reality of my sin, my poverty of spirit, and repentance will humble me. Then, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yes, I admit and confess that I am poor in spirit. I'm a sinner, but I cannot be content with that. There must be a desire for righteousness. And then, blessed are the merciful. What God has done for me, forgiving all my sins, giving me the righteousness that I did not have, exchanging my poverty for His riches. It'll make me a merciful person. For God has not treated me as my sins deserve. And now, blessed are the pure in heart. It tells us that the God who has shown such rich mercy to us and given us His own righteousness, this God demands our allegiance, our undivided attention. And he is more than worthy of all the devotion and commitment we can give him. We see a pure heart. Now, secondly and finally, in this beatitude, we see a vision of God. A vision of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, we understand that to enter the presence of God, we must be pure in heart. But Jesus sharpens the point. He connects purity of heart specifically to seeing God. Listen to this description of heaven from the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 3 and following. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They shall need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You see, his people will see his face. That is a blessing that is yet to come. We do not yet see his face as we shall see him in heaven. But in order to see him then, we must be focused on him now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. When our Lord Jesus returns, we shall be made like him. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And John says, it is not yet. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That will not come until he comes, and then we'll see him as he is, and we will be made like him. But there's not just a not yet. There's a now. Now, everyone who has this hope purifies himself as he is pure. We know full well we will not be absolutely, perfectly pure in this life. We won't be like him as he is yet. But in the meantime, we must be purifying ourselves. It's a constant work, an ongoing process. It's a struggle. It's a fight to purify ourselves. But how does it work? We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3 in Matthew, and then Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 and 2 Corinthians. You'd be right there. And I've been reading all these scriptures for you, but I do want you to see this one. It will make more sense in the context. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, there in 2 Corinthians 3, there's a lot going on. It's comparing the old covenant under Moses to the new covenant, the law and the Spirit. Don't need to get into all that. Just here in verse 18, he says that we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Let's think about that. We focus on the Lord Jesus like looking into a mirror. But instead of ourselves, we see Him. And the more we look to Him, the more we look at Him, the more we look upon Him and concentrate on Him, we are more and more transformed into His image. But what's the mirror we're to look into? Well, there in 2 Corinthians, if you look at chapter 4 and verse 3, this is the same passage as chapter division in our Bible, but same passage. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." The glory of Christ, the image of God, shines where? In the gospel. That's the good news. The good news that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. You see, there's only one man who was ever perfectly fit to ascend the mountain of God and stand in His holy presence. Only one man who truly had clean hands and a pure heart. That man is Jesus Christ. And the good news is that we may have His clean hands and His pure heart. But now note this well. We may have His clean hands and His pure heart in two ways. And you got to have both. Here's the first way. We may have His clean hands and His pure heart counted to us, substituted for ours. Let me try to illustrate. On October the 24th, 1992, was something very important to me and maybe a half a dozen the rest of you. Others may not care, but that was Game 7 of the National League Championship Series between Atlanta and Pittsburgh. The game was in Atlanta that night. Game 7. Elimination game both ways. Atlanta was down 3-2 with the bases loaded and two outs in the bottom of the ninth, down one run. It's do or die. Pitcher was due to hit. Pitchers don't get to hit anymore in the major leagues except for one man named Shohei Ohtani, but I won't get into all that. because at that level, pitchers don't usually hit very well. The pitcher of record at that time in the ninth inning was a reliever named Jeff Reardon, who, as far as I know, never stood in a major league batter's box in his life. And was just about washed up as a pitcher, if you want to get down to it. So, Bobby Cox did what he had to do. He only had one position player left on the bench, but he pulled him off the bench. Francisco Cabrera was his name, and sent him to pinch hit for a man that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And the rest is history. The good news is that though we do not have pure hearts, Jesus Christ did not pinch hit. You might say he pinch lived for us. And he died for all the sin that pollutes our hearts. Now that's one way we have the pure heart of Jesus Christ. But there's another way. There's more than that to the gospel message. He gives us new hearts by His Holy Spirit. And our risen Lord enters our hearts by His Holy Spirit. And He works in our hearts by His Holy Spirit, so that we are daily purified, daily transformed more and more into His image, and more our hearts become less and less polluted and conformed to His pure heart as it is formed in us by His Spirit. And this happens as we look to Him now. We have to see His glory now by faith to be purified in heart so that we will at last see His face. We see His glory in the gospel. But where do we see the gospel? In His Word. You want to meet God? You want to encounter God? You want to see God? Open His Word. Now. And you will see Him forever. We'll leave this message with these words. Words of a man who was there at the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus preached these words that day. A man who had a divided heart even then. But the Lord did a work in Simon Peter. Peter says this, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ in the Word of God purifies our hearts and our souls. Give the Word of God and give the God of this Word your undivided attention. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.